The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 82 for December 11th, 2006. Greetings, folks, and welcome back to the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave. I'm here with John. Hi, John.
You're back.
I am back. It was awesome being away. I'll tell you, man, being unplugged from the grid.
Yeah, it was. I agree.
Being unplugged from the grid like that for a week was it was great. I didn't have any problems. You know, I didn't walk past the internet cafes on the boat and shake or anything. It was great. For those of you who don't know, I spent last week on a Disney cruise with my family aboard the wonderful Disney Magic, and I'll probably write something up on my blog about it so as not to take up valuable podcast time just waxing poetic about our adventures last week. But suffice to say, I highly recommend it for everyone. So
cool. So you were in, as they call it, meat space.
Meat space.
Oh, you never read Gibson?
Why, yeah. Which yeah, that sounds familiar.
I think it was in one of his. Right. Yeah. Neuromancer or something. Like that's basically, the Land of the Living.
Right, right. I was in the Land of the Living. Right, oh, Meat Space. Yes, now I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
anyways, we're not going to talk about meat, though.
But I will mention something that was interesting. I kept a journal while I was on the cruise, just things that happened and stuff, and I realized that I totally forgot how to write in cursive. I went to do it. I was writing in print and thought, well, this would be easier if I just wrote in cursive. And it was like, you know, my brain just went on hiatus. I don't know how to do this. It took me probably 3 or 4 days to really kind of get it down. I still can't remember how to do K's, but otherwise.
What's this writing you speak of?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I just don't do a lot of that anymore.
Did you have your Trio with you?
I did. I turned off the phone. I charged it at home. I turned off the radio on it once we got to where we needed to be. I left it in the drawer. I had our cruise schedule was on it, so I just checked it every day to see what we'd had scheduled for ourselves or whatever. And then I got home. I didn't have to charge it the whole time because the radio was off. Actually, I on the plane on the way home, before we got on the plane, I let it download 420 emails. Yeah. And then I triaged them all on the plane, you know, filed them into various things so that this morning when I got to my desk, I had like no email in my inbox and then just needed to manage, you know, the stuff that was in the various action folders and stuff. So it actually worked out very, very well. So,
but enough of that. We got people with problems.
We do have people with problems. And, you know, that's what the show's going to be about, is just all your feedback and your questions and that sort of thing. Justin has... He has about 3 minutes of great stuff, so we're just gonna let Justin take it away here, and then we'll address each of his questions in order, and hopefully completely. But if not, of course, you know what to do.
Hey Dave, hey John, this is Justin from New South Wales in Australia. I have a couple of questions regarding the new iMac 24-inch machine, which I found to be just great for what I'm doing, which is mostly Java development, Final Cut Pro, and GarageBand, plus a bit of 3D rendering. Firstly, to GarageBand. When I have my band over to jam, we of course like to record our sessions, both for posterity and for those times when a riff emerges that we'd like to remember later. My Mac's in my office and we jam in the room next door. Is there any way that you know of to control GarageBand with the Apple remote? It'd be really cool to, between songs, to simply point the remote at the Mac and tell it to pause recording, undo, rewind, resume recording and so forth. I've tried it, of course, but it doesn't even play pause, which I must admit surprised me a little. Perhaps there's a nice hack to intercept the signal and divert it to GarageBand. Secondly, to the screen in the iMac. I have a friend who wondered what the brightness and contrast ratio in its display were, but I can't find the specs on this. Perhaps I just need to look a bit harder. Finally, I also have a quick Yojimbo.Mac question. I too am enjoying Yojimbo, but I'm having a weird problem when it comes to sync it with my .Mac account. I should mention that I'm just checking out both Yojimbo and .Mac at the moment, so they're both in demo mode. I'm sure that's not a problem, though. I'm trying to sync with a PowerBook G4. It's running 10.4.8, as is my iMac. Here's the problem. The sync simply doesn't occur. I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the fact that on my iMac, in the .Mac sync pane, it's listed as Yojimbo items, whereas on the PowerBook, it's listed as com.barebones.yojimbo.yojimbo.data, which looks like a Java package or some such. Weird. I've installed the same version of Yojimbo on both machines. Hopefully you can help. Thanks for a great podcast, guys. I've recently returned to the Mac fold after a few years in the PC wilderness. I too am a member of that most unfortunate club. My old PowerPC 3400 came crashing to the ground due to its attached power supply being in my pocket as I turned to leave. I'm afraid to say that caffeine was involved. Never mind. Thanks and bye for now.
Okay.
I didn't know Australia came with a soundtrack. That's why everybody there is so cool.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Boy. So let's start at the beginning here. And that was actually only about 2 minutes. There's another minute and a half of that comment there, and I can't remember what was there, but I'm happy with what we got. So
the remote. I remember that remote when we got the iMac to review.
Yeah, and I've got one with my MacBook Pro. And I got to tell you, when I did a presentation at UNH, University of New Hampshire, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke for a class of undergrads about running an internet business. And so I did a little keynote thing to kind of guide me along. And I could use the remote for it. And it was killer. Really cool to be able to do that and not have to be tied to the podium. But he's right. The remote does not work with GarageBand, at least not out of the box. I did a little bit of searching, and there's something called, and of course now I can't remember the name of it, Remote Buddy, that's it, that should do this, it appears to. I have not tested it, but we'll put a link in the show notes to Remote Buddy. There was also a story at 123macmini.com, which we will also link to, that lists other apps like Remote Buddy that will add functionality and enhance the way that the built-in remote functions. So yes, that's there. You have a Keyspan remote, is that right, John?
Yeah, and you know the thing is, I noticed when we first had the iMac, I thought, now, so you're telling me the Apple remote works in Keynote?
It totally works in Keynote. It's
okay.
Awesome.
So it sounds like the applications are probably, and not surprisingly, Apple applications. Hmm. But yeah, I have a Keyspan, and Keyspan's actually they've been making very nice remotes for quite a while, and the one that I do have right now, it's called their Keyspan Express remote.
Okay.
And I think we have a question a little later that'll tie right into that product.
Okay.
But it's essentially a remote very like the Apple, though I think the differentiator is, well, one, you got to plug it in to the
right.
USB port.
Right.
And number two, you have to have a profile. It comes with a bunch of profiles. Like, you know, I used it the other day without knowing if it would work with QuickTime, and I was able to play, pause, forward, backwards.
Okay.
So Keyspan makes a really nice line of remotes for people that don't have some of the newer machines.
Got it. All right. So his second question was a quick one, about the brightness and contrast on the iMac there. The specs page for the iMac at apple.com/iMac/specs.html, which of course we'll link to, lists the brightness. And I believe, John, you said that the brightness is measured in candelas per meter squared.
Candela squared.
Okay.
Yes.
So the brightness is 400 candelas per meter squared, and the contrast is 700:1. Now that's on the 24-inch iMac. Each one is different, but since Justin had the 24-inch iMac, that's the one that I looked up. I looked up the problem about Yojimbo. I remembered seeing something in Barebones FAQ about that. It is typically that happens when you uninstall Yojimbo. So the first thing I would try is simply uninstall Yojimbo and reinstall it, meaning drag it out and drag it a new copy in and run it. Hopefully that will kind of trigger it into doing that. You may need to also remove the prefs files, but it looks like pieces of, as you surmised, Justin, pieces of the sync engine are missing. If that doesn't work, go to Barebones FAQ, and there's a little place to submit a question to them. They're, in my experience anyway, very good at responding to things like this. So that should hopefully take care of it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, I did it to myself.
You
want
okay?
You want to go ahead and do you have Andrew's email right there in front of you, John?
I could bring it up. Give me a second here. Okay, Andrew, and I think Andrew's question here was, hey guys, any rechargeable battery, and in fact, any battery in electronics in general should be recycled, both because of the metals, and they can leach out and do bad things to the environment, which I would agree with him on that. And basically, he's just telling us about a site here. We'll link to it. Rechargeable Battery Recycled Corporation, which I guess they basically keep track of places you can drop off batteries. You know, I've looked into this in the past, too.
Yep.
Is, That, like, for example, my local, or I think I, you know, I was at my parents and I looked through, you know, the regulations for what you should recycle and not. And
yeah,
a lot of places don't list batteries as something that's a real problem. Now, I just instinctually, because I know what's in batteries and I've seen them leak and bleed and stuff. I mean, yeah, how could you throw that, you know, just in the regular trash? So, and I think Apple, although they did have that recent report where Greenpeace gave them the smackdown for whatever reason. But I do believe they have some form of battery recycling program.
Yep. I plugged my zip code in on this rbrc.org site, and I got three places within 5 miles of me. One of them is a Radio Shack, so presumably most Radio Shacks would take these. But just go here, type in your zip code, and it'll tell you exactly where to go and what to do. So that's that. Thank you, Andrew, very kindly for sending that in. Another kind of sort of remote, well, not kind of sort of, another remote-related thing from Tim.
Hey, guys, this is Tim from Deering, New Hampshire, fellow Mac geek. And I have a quick question for you. I'm trying to, what I'd like to be able to do is control the volume of my music playing over the Airport Express. So I've got an iMac, one of the 20-inch Intel iMacs. And, you know, I use the remote to queue up iTunes and control everything. It works awesome, except that I can't control the volume. The little volume bar moves up and down, but, of course, it's not controlling anything. And I guess from what I've read so far, it really will only control the volume in iTunes and playing on the Mac speakers is the way that seems to work. So as far as Airport Express is concerned, it's not doing it. Although if you do move the volume control in iTunes, instead of using the remote control, you can't control the volume through Airport Express. So go figure. So I'm hoping there's a utility or a workaround or something that can fix that for me, allow me to use my remote control to change my volume. So thanks so much. Love the show. Catch you later. Bye.
All right. So my thought with this, John, was to use the aforementioned Remote Buddy and Rogue Amoeba's Airfoil, which is a piece of software that lets you sync up multiple Airport Expresses, but there's no reason that it wouldn't work with one. And from what I can see, Remote Buddy works with Airfoil, so that might be the match made in heaven that Tim's looking for. Did you find anything else? You mentioned that you might have an idea.
Well, I found something here. Keyspan has different flavors of their remote, and they have one here called Express Remote, which plugs into the Airport Express and lets you control iTunes. So I don't know if that would do it. I don't know if that was quite what he was trying to do, was
okay.
it? I haven't actually tried this. I have one of these. I want to actually plug it in and get a feel for this. But they claim you can plug it directly into the Airport Express and control it from that point.
Is there a USB port?
Yeah, because it's also, it's supposed to be a print share.
Oh, right. Of course. Oh. Huh.
So maybe that would do it for him.
That's interesting.
It sounds like a cool toy. I mean, that's the actual one that I have right now. So yeah. We'll link to those products.
Huh. All right. So Lisa has one of these 30 gig 5G iPods, right? And it's been working fine for her. She uses it in the car. She uses it everywhere. She's had it since March of last year. So it's just past the 180-day free shipping period, right? Mm-hmm. We get on the airplane. And the way we did it on the plane this time was we took two aisles and two middles directly across from each other. We put the kids in the middles. Lisa and I were on the aisles, and there were some people in the windows.
Some poor schmucks at the... Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the kids are fine on the plane. We flew JetBlue, right? So you got the TVs. It's just you plug in and forget it. But Skylar, my daughter, and I actually watched The Princess Bride on the way down, which was awesome.
Excellent film.
Oh, yeah. It was great. So anyway... I'm there watching The Princess Bride. I'm all chilled out, and Lisa taps me on the shoulder. It's like, yeah? And she shows me her iPod, and on the screen, it says, plug into iTunes to restore. Now, this is the first time that we have not traveled with a laptop in forever. I've never not traveled with a laptop for this period of time. You know, we're going away for a week. It's our flight out, right? Flight down to Florida to catch the boat. Yeah. And her iPod says this, and I'm thinking, oh, man. So I do the reset things and all the stuff I know to do. It's nothing. You know, this thing's not. Yeah, and I could tell the drive. I couldn't hear it because, of course, there was a noise of the plane and everything. But I could just tell the drive wasn't kicking up. Oh, man. And so we got there and we flew down the night before the boat left and stayed in a hotel just to curb any, you know, travel. If any flights were late, we would have been freaked out. So we stayed overnight. It was fine. And we got into the hotel. I said, wait a minute, hand me your iPod. And she gave it to me. I hit the button, fired up just fine. It would, and it worked throughout the trip, although we actually didn't use them much, but on the plane on the way home, tried it again, wouldn't work. So it will not work at altitude. Clearly something wrong with the drive, and I'm going to send it in for warranty service. But thought that was very interesting to see. Yes. Isn't that something?
Though, I mean, it's pressurized. I mean, it shouldn't be too different.
My guess is her drive's always been a little bit, I guess flaky's the right word. It's just been a little bit suspect. She's had to restore it once or twice since she got it, which is more than you should have to. You know what I mean?
It just may have been sensitive to the pressure change, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So, and I'm getting an IM from my wife. I usually don't talk about this kind of stuff, but I did want to mention this thing. Lisa's IMing me because JetBlue called. We flew back on Saturday and got 4 out of 5 of our bags. And
or that means one was missing.
One's missing. And apparently this phone call from JetBlue was didn't change that status. It's still missing. I don't know why they bothered to call. But anyway, I always see the barcodes on the luggage. So I asked him, I said, well, just tell me where it was last scanned and let's figure this out. And they're like, oh, well, that barcode, that really is only for the departing city. We don't scan bags routinely anywhere. It's not like a tracking number on a FedEx package, right? It doesn't mean anything. So once the bag is in their system, it's never scanned again. They're looking visibly at the tag to see, you know, what airport that's supposed to go to. Yeah.
Nice.
Huh?
So yeah. If they look at a bag and then maybe look a little later and it kind of looks the same. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But
that's
been,
why that happens.
It's been 2.5 days, man. I don't expect to see this suitcase again. Trust me. I think it's dead to us. The worst part was that we bought duty free a bottle of Patron Silver tequila while we were on the boat. We actually went to a tequila tasting one afternoon, which was great. I learned a ton about tequila, believe it or not. And so we bought a bottle of that for, you know, like $50, and normally it's like 120 or whatever. But that's okay.
Nice.
JetBlue will be replacing it for us. Thank goodness we didn't lose the suitcase that had the bottle of Tortuga rum in it, because you can't buy that in New Hampshire. Some of you can buy it in the States. It's available in I think about 20 states. So so if anybody wants to buy some and, you know, get it to me, that'd be great. But we did get our one bottle that we bought, our banana rum. But there you go.
Well, it sounds like the party is at your place this weekend.
Yeah, well, if the tequila shows up, then I think that might be right.
We'll put out a special podcast just for that.
206-666-GEEK if you know where I can get Tortuga rum, or you've seen my suitcase, or, you know, if you have comments for the show, that'll help too. All right. So many of you emailed in, but James was the first to send in an audio comment about my my plea on my wish list last week, which of course was right under my nose the whole time.
Hello, John and Dave. This is James again, also commenting again on podcast number 80. Dave, you were just asking about nicknames in iChat. I believe your beloved application Chax also allows you to do something like this. I don't know for sure. I haven't set it up yet myself, but now that you mentioned it, I kind of want to do it myself. But I believe you can set up a custom field in address book, call it nickname, and then I believe Chax has a way of, you know, pulling your address book and saying, you know, do they have a nickname? If yes, use the nickname. If not, you know, don't. I think there's a way to do it. I'm pretty sure it's in Chax. You don't have to do anything extra. Just install Chax and it should be right there. Again, haven't had a chance to really play with it, so I could always call you back.
That you can, but you don't have to, because I figured it out. You're absolutely right. Chax allows iChat to show nicknames in the buddy list. The way you get nicknames in there is you go to the address book, you go to preferences, you go to the template, and add field, and then you add the nickname field to the template. There is another way to do this per address entry, but this gets it in all of them. And then every single one now will have the nickname there. And then you just edit the template and type in the nickname you want and go into checks and tell it to display nicknames and boom, there you go. So thank you everyone who alerted me to the presence of that. That was like a wish come true. Right? Sorry. I've been on a Disney ship all week, you see. Yeah. Julie, every time she came, not Julie, you know, from the Love Boat, but it was our cruise director. Every time she had an announcement to make, that we heard the When You Wish Upon a Star, and then Julie would talk, but her name wasn't Julie. But you know,
yeah,
that
must have gotten aggravating after a while.
No, it wasn't. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. It was like,
have you ever been at Disney? It's a small world.
That gets old. That is haunting. Yeah, you know, the cruise wasn't haunting. The cruise was. I know that this is by design, of course, but did you ever play that game Starship Titanic, Douglas Adams game?
A bit.
Okay, all the rooms and elevators and everything reminded me of this Starship Titanic, of course, because, I mean, you know, they were both modeled after the, you know, this cruise ship of old, but you know, it was just that whole nautical flair. It was beautiful, great, but not overdone. Mickey was subtly everywhere. But mostly in a nice way. And even when the characters came out and interacted with the kids, I mean, it was awesome. I had my picture taken with. We went to a tea party. We went to the Mad Hatter's tea party, and it was great. You know, we celebrated our own birthdays, and we did the whole deal. So, all right, I have a question that I don't know the answer to, but I kind of do actually. We'll see.
Hey, John and Dave, this is Lee from Atlanta. Had a question about monitor performance, and I knew you would be the guys to ask. I love the show, but basically what I've got is I've got a computer at work, a Mac G4 dual 1.25 gigahertz, and running two CRT monitors, 19 inch, and just wondering if upgrading that to like a single LCD monitor, maybe like a 23-inch or something like that. I was just wondering if running one monitor will actually help performance at all. Do a lot of video editing and things like that. So any performance increase is greatly appreciated. So I was wondering that, and I was also wondering, like on my iBook at home, my G4, if I hook up a second monitor, whether I mirror the display or if I use the extra software to span the desktop onto the second display, I was wondering how that affects the performance. So if you guys could help me out or point me to a show where you've already covered that, I'd appreciate it. My email address is
not to be displayed on the show or not to be read on the show.
Right.
Okay, my feelings on this are totally subjective. I've never done any testing on this, but I've been using a PowerBook or now a MacBook Pro with an external display for a while. It was a 20-inch SGI display, which was great. And then for the last number of years, it's been a 23-inch Apple Cinema display, the older version. My feeling is that, yeah, that the video on the machine definitely slows down more so with the older machines, of course, than the MacBook Pro, but it certainly feels snappier when I'm just on the MacBook Pro or the PowerBooks without it being connected to the display. It is more for the machine to manage, of course, to have, you know, the multiple options. I don't think it's so much that it's multiple. It's just that it's more real estate, more pixels for it to manage. And I think that does, in some way, slow it down. I'm hoping that someone out there has some hard and fast knowledge about why this is or isn't, and maybe it's simply a, you know, an illusion to me, but it seems to make sense that the more real estate you have to manage, the slower it's going to get. So again, using my own very subjective opinions on this, mirroring should be faster than dual display. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would say a lot of it would fall into, and this is where I know in the past, though I think it's getting better, you know, when you start getting up into the resolutions and the color depths that start taxing the card and start taking up, you know, larger amounts of video RAM, you know, that always is getting bigger and bigger, it just has to do more work. So I guess one thing, I mean, you know, if beforehand, I mean, there are choices on all the Macs that I've seen within the last several years, or you could even go beyond that. I still think the choices are limited as far as just taking something off the shelf. But it looks like right now, especially, you know, with the Intel architecture, I've, you know, talked to some guys at ATI and they were just saying in general, it'll be making their job easier to have the cards, you know, have parity between the two platforms because now they don't have to roll a special Mac version because more of the stuff is the same.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I mean, I guess, you know, before the fact, you know, just get as much video card as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right, we will let, I wasn't sure if we were going to play this one or not, but it seems we're burning through time. I bet this show's going to be a short one. You know, I always say that, don't I? And we'll see what happens after we listen to what Dylan has to say.
Hey, Dave and John. This is Dylan in Seattle. And I'm having a somewhat irritating problem with my first generation Core Duo Intel iMac. Whenever I leave the iMac on for more than a few moments, and the screensaver comes up, there always seems to be a kernel panic message on the screensaver. So every time it goes into the screensaver, it kernel panics. I tried disabling the screensaver itself, then it just started kernel panicking right before it went to sleep. I would really appreciate it if you could help me on this because getting a little old to have to restart the iMac every time I leave for a few minutes. My email.
All right.
Yeah, that's a perfectly normal behavior. There's
nothing to see here. No, that's very bad.
Wow.
Without
I had
knowing,
one thought until he went on, but I've seen this in the past that you can get bad screensaver modules, especially third party.
Yeah,
I
remember
that happened to me once. Is that it was one that I downloaded off the web, and every time it would explode when I changed the screensaver.
Yep.
The only reason I'm thinking that's not is because he said it didn't happen.
Right.
And he didn't have a screen, though maybe, so who knows?
I don't know,
something's corrupted, but
just a
little pre-tip there.
I used to see it on Windows machines with the 3D screensavers when those were first introduced into Windows 98. That would, you know, people would say, oh, I leave it on screensaver for a while, and then it's horrible, and it crashes. It's like, well, change the screensaver to, you know, something more simple, and then that solved it. Maybe a video card thing or whatever with that. But I don't think that this is the same issue. It, you know, it's weird. One makes me think, like you said, something in software that's just not quite right. The other, where it says it's where he says it's crashing before it goes to sleep, that, you know, it's almost like two totally different things, but clearly not, or maybe, you know, probably not. My thought would be, either a problem on the hard drive, right, where it's got hitting a bad sector or something with virtual memory, or it's bad RAM or, you know, a bad maybe power management unit. Maybe the PMU is corrupted. I don't know.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. This one's really reaching, but
you're bouncing, man. Go.
Energy saver. Energy saver control panel.
Yeah.
There's a put display to sleep, and I'm wondering if he's now this is something you should always think about. Again, I'm going out on a limb here because anyways, I'm just wondering if he's added a was this a portable or desktop? I'm sorry.
It was an iMac. It was an Intel iMac.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if
you may be right because from what he said,
display to sleep. I don't know if
it wasn't clear, but it sounded like the screensaver came on, and then after a period of time, it crashed. So maybe the exact same crash is happening, and it's crashing as it's trying to put either the display or the hard drive or the entire computer to sleep, which would be, you know, by turning those things off in the energy saver, that may give you an idea as to where the problem is. But, I would reset power management on the machine for sure, and you can do that. You're going to have to search the Apple knowledge base. We'll put a link to resetting it. I don't remember the steps on the Apple iMac. They're every machine's different, and I just can't remember all of them.
A little different. It may. I actually had to do this open firmware.
I was just gonna say,
it might be going to open firmware. I think it's reset all, but we'll list to a procedure for that because I actually ran across that in search of solving one of my own little problems, which maybe we could mention.
Go ahead.
Well, I was telling you about this before the show, but I've had the weirdest thing happen with two of my machines at home.
Yep.
They no longer play movie DVDs. This could be a geek challenge, maybe.
Oh, well, we have a geek challenge. Are we going to have two geek challenges?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Go ahead.
All of a sudden now, both my computers at home, when I put in a DVD, movie DVD only.
Wait, both your computers?
Yeah, that's why I think software. Because the G5 is much newer, of course. That's
you didn't tell me it was both
update.
Your computers. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So that's why I was thinking software. The problem is that the
okay, so tell them what the problem is, because you glossed
basically
over that.
I put in a movie DVD. I hear the DVDs go rant, 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 rant.
Yeah.
And then say, unable to mount this disc, eject or ignore. I'm like, huh?
Okay, and if
normally
you,
what it did,
and tell
and
them,
I've played DVDs on both of these computers, and normally it starts up DVD player.
And you've tried multiple discs. It's not just one disc that's giving you problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Now
I tried like four or five, and they work fine in my PlayStation, which is my DVD player.
Okay. Now, you said one other interesting thing. If you choose ignore at that point and don't eject the disc, and then run VLC player, the DVDs play, correct?
Yeah. I'll start VLC, say play DVD, and it's
weird, man.
Okay. It's almost like maybe, and you suggested to me maybe for whatever reason, I thought it was a recent software update, which maybe it is. I don't know. Or just a weird combination of pref paints or startup things I have. So I'll have to try a few things. We won't take up too much time because it was kind of a unsolicited geek challenge here. But has anybody else run into their DVDs all of a sudden not playing? Because both machines used to do it. Now they don't.
Have you gone to CD and DVDs in system preferences and, you know, say what when you insert a video DVD, what's that set to?
I believe it's set to DVD player.
I wonder what happens.
CDs and DVDs.
Yeah.
When you insert a video DVD, open DVD player.
Yep. All right. What if you set it to ignore? I wonder if it's actually just a problem with DVD player. Weird that it's having the same problem on two machines.
Yeah, I'll try that. But anybody else had this problem, let us know. In the meantime, so that was kind of Geek Challenge Zero. Now we're going to do Geek Challenge 1.
We'll do... I will stop quick here and on that... Bleh. Wow. I can't speak this evening. Oh, a week off wasn't necessarily good for podcasting. To reset the SMC, the System Management Controller, on the iMac, you force quit... Let's see. You shut down the machine from the Apple menu, shut down... wait at least 15 seconds with everything unplugged from the computer, then plug the power cord back in, making sure the power button is not being pressed, then reconnect the keyboard and mouse, and then press the power button to start it back up. So it's pretty much yank everything out, yank the power cord, and there you go. So I guess that's
okay.
I guess that's that. We'll link to this in the show notes. And now we're on to Chad with a very interesting query.
Hi guys, this is Chad Lawson from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I called in a few weeks ago looking for a VPN solution for my family so I could administer multiple machines. You'd recommended the DTWRT for Linksys, and that worked beautifully. Thank you very much. I was able to get that a couple days before Thanksgiving, install it on Thanksgiving, and I've already managed to ward off one problem by being able to access it remotely instead of having to talk them through it.
Hey.
So I'm hoping you can help me with my next problem.
Geeks Unite!
I have my regular user account on my PowerBook, and for the most part, I do everything off of that. Occasionally, though, I log into a different account, primarily if I'm doing more work-related stuff than personal, and I just want to have a clean login that doesn't have any of my own presets. No, there's nothing inappropriate or anything like that. It's just I want to have a clean desktop, clean set of presets, dock, and everything, and just want to have a good configure. The problem comes when I want to be able to access off of my other account. Obviously, I have to deal with regular file permissions and the like, but what I would like to be able to do is to connect to my own machine and essentially authenticate at it at like the AFP level for Apple File. Similar to what I can do if I'm sitting in my network, I just connect up to the other machine, type in a username and password, and it can be any username and password as long as it's valid on the other machine, mount its home directory and go from there. I'd like to be able to do the same thing to the machine I'm already sitting on and just connect up and say, now I want my personal account and password and get at the files that way. Anytime I try to do it, I get the dialog box, this connection failed, this file server is already running on your machine, please access files, volumes and files locally. It'd be great, but I'm running into permission problems, and I don't want to set a whole bunch of permissions just to get at a couple of files. I just want to be able to log in and go. If you have any thoughts on other ways I can do it, I've tried AFP, I've tried FTP, which of course is useless. Anything you can come up with, I've tried all sorts of different methods of AFP, whether to type in as localhost, to type in by its DNS name, anything. Anything you guys have would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Bye.
You know, I didn't have an answer for this, and I still don't have a perfect answer, but one thing that comes to mind, I remember years ago I was writing an article for Mac Addict, and I actually believe tomorrow or at some point this week, another article I wrote for Mac Addict hits the newsstands. So it's the cover story, feature story. So check it out. Yeah. But anyway, I remember stumbling onto a utility called Sudo by Brian Hill. Now, this was years ago. I don't know if anything like this exists, but basically, this utility may just work just fine. All it did was, if you took an application and dragged it onto sudo, so an application onto sudo, it would launch it as root. So, and you'd have to authenticate, you know, you'd type in your password or whatever, but it would launch it as a privileged user. What you could do is you could launch the Finder this way, or you could launch Word this way. And then that would give you access to those files because you're root, and now you can see all over the machine. So that may be one option, but that's not clean. That, you know, you're running an app as root. You're not supposed to do that. So,
but I want to clarify: is he trying to log into the own? He's trying to log into the machine as a different user via a file sharing. Like
yeah, he just wants to connect to another user on the same machine. He wants to connect
machine.
To another user's home directory. Yeah.
Right, and have it serve up like an AppleTalk or a FTP server.
And if you try to do this, it'll tell you. And he was right. It'll say connection failed. This file server that you're trying to connect to is running on your own machine. Please connect to these files locally. And in fact, that's not what he wants to do. He wants to mount, you know, or somehow access it with the privileges required to access this other user's home directory, simply to get it Word files. Now, there is the possibility of using the shared folder, right? If you go to /users/shared or hard drive /users/shared, you could put files there. But again, that's also not a clean solution. You've got to kind of think ahead of time about what you want to put there. And then you still need to set privileges. I've put things in shared and not been able to write to them with another user or whatever. So it's an interesting, totally valid thing, but no obvious answer there. So,
no, I think there's third party stuff. I'm going to talk.
I'm sure there is.
I believe I've seen in the past some utility that'll set up an additional file server, but I'm going to have to poke around.
Would SharePoints do this? Remember that SharePoints? I know that's used for different stuff, but that may. I don't know. If
I was thinking more. There was a product out there that would be that would, you know, offer multiple FTP servers under multiple users on the machine. I think that's
okay.
I don't know if that'll quite do it. But anyways, yeah. If anybody was listening,
yeah. You know, I was listening.
To figure this out.
I was listening the other day, and I heard this.
Dave, you gotta help me, mate. I got caught. What do I do now? What do I do, Dave? I got caught. Adam in Southern California, who's now caught.
You're not supposed to get caught, man. That's the whole thing.
He's in Southern California. I don't know if that's a really bad place to get caught.
Yeah, I think what he's saying he's in Humboldt County is what he's saying. You can't get caught. That's the whole thing. Of all the advice we give you every week, there's one piece of advice that we give you time and time again. Don't get caught. That's what you got to do.
We need some more detail. Some things.
No. There is no more detail to be had.
But sometimes you can get uncaught.
You can uncaught yourself. Yes, that's right. Many times it requires soliciting the services of an attorney. Or attorneying the services of a solicitor if you're in England, right? No, sorry, it's the other way around.
All right, what's next?
I got nothing. I'm out. That's it. I told you that. I told you this show is a short one, as it should be. I just came back from vacation. I got to I got to ease back into this here.
Yeah. Gently, are you going to take the red pill or the blue pill?
Oh, I take them both. it mellows me out. Always take both, but don't get caught.
Yeah.
Okay,
hey,
so next
map,
week,
you know, I was at a place on the Frapper map. I'm gonna say hi to Austin. He had a cool party while you were gone.
Who's
a lot
this?
Of people at the coworker who listens every now and then. He had a really nice bash at his place.
Oh, did he join the Frapper map?
Yeah, he's on there.
Sweet. Oh, hey, man, thanks for joining the Frapper map. You, too, can join the Frapper map. There's a link in the show notes. Every show notes we've got, there's a link. I don't know why I keep putting it there, but I keep putting it there, so there it is. You can play Nation States with us. I put it on vacation mode while I was gone. Lisa didn't. She came back with, like, 12 issues or something. Yeah, you know. So, oh, well.
Yeah. She didn't get kicked, though.
No, you got like 20-something days before they'll kick you. It's, I just didn't want to come back to a big pile of anything. I worked so hard before I left, and I was successful. I delegated off. I became the master delegator for the last like 3 days before I left, and I actually learned a lot about how much more I can delegate than I already do. And I did. I just organized things and said, "You do this, you do that, you do this." I went away for a week. I came back, and there was like one little minor fire burning. It was like almost as though I'm not.
Sorry, you're the big. You're the big cheese.
Yeah,
man.
I'm not needed.
That's why you make the big money.
Yeah, well, I need it, man. Those cruises aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
No, I highly recommend them, though. I can't speak. You hear the excitement in my voice. I can't speak highly enough about it. But I did get back today, and three shiny new iPods had appeared from Apple while I was gone. So we've got a Shuffle, a Nano, and
one's coming down here.
I'm sure it is. We've got a Shuffle, a Nano, and then the 5.5G or whatever we're calling this the other one. So I'm going to take a look at them this week, and we'll talk about at least one, if not all three of them, on next week's show. Yeah. I'll check it out. I really want to check out the Shuffle. That's a cool one.
Cool. Yeah. It looks cool. The clip-on thing. I've seen some of the ads too. They look pretty cool. You know, I got to recommend something else.
Yeah.
40-inch LCD Samsung TV. Well, I told you I got the TiVo Series 2, so of course I also had to get the TV and the digital cable, and boy, I love HDTV.
Isn't it nice?
Now I can't go back.
No, there's no going back. Yeah, once you get that big...
I'm hooked.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You convinced me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you came up here, you saw the plasma, you had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So. CashFly Hosting, of course, is where you downloaded this from, and the podcast marketplace this month includes the 6i Isolator earphones from Edemotic, the A5 desktop speakers from Audio Engine, and TeachMac from TeachMac.com. Sponsor the show with Backbeat Media Podcast Network. We still have a couple of tickets, extra tickets for our Cirque du Mac party. At the Red Devil Lounge. Those of you, there are a couple of you that have emailed me. You haven't gotten a response from me. I know that I have your names in the list. I think I can accommodate everyone that I've heard from so far and a few more. So please do feel free to hunt me down on that, because it's a fun time. So.
Or write your request on the back of a 20. Sorry, I stole that from Car Talk, but it's just so funny.
When we're doing gigs, people come up and say, "Oh, do you take requests?" Oh, yeah. We take them on these pieces of paper that have the 20s in four corners. You just write them on the middle of that and hand them in. We'll take them. That's right. We won't necessarily do the request, but we'll happily take the request.
You'll take them.
That's right.
Good.
I am doing that Windows on a Mac session the day before our party, so that's January 9th at 1:30 p.m. somewhere at the Moscone Center. And I think between now and the end of the month, we'll do a little Windows on Mac thing so that I can run through my presentation and you can critique me. I'm not actually going to do the whole presentation, but you can help walk me through this, John, and maybe, you know, we'll do that. So that'll be one show between now, and then the iPods will be another one, and then it's, you know, like Merry Christmas and all of that good stuff. Happy New Year. Ha-ha.
Happy holidays, whatever you celebrate.
That's right. Yeah.
And
then Macworld. That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah. You got anything else, man?
I'm done, man. I'm out of here.
That's good. Yeah, we're out of here. iTunes comments. We do have more Gmail invites, so feel free to send those in. 206-666-GEEK or 206-666. What is
4335.
It? 4335. That's right. Right. MacGeekGab.com. Skype your voicemail to MacGeekGab. Oh, I got to check that. I haven't checked that yet. Oh. There might be a lot there. And, John, if there was just one piece of advice we could give them every week, what would that be?
Don't get caught.
Made up.